Treasurer Scott Morrison says the government will support 44 of the 56 recommendations of the Harper Inquiry into our competition policy. A so-called root and branch review of Australia's competition laws was an election promise made by the Coalition back in 2013. Scott Morrison says the changes will deliver better services and more choices for Australians. Some of the recommendations by Professor Ian Harper include opening up health, aged care, disability services and childcare to private sector competition, longer trading hours for the retail sector, cheaper books thanks to the removal of import restrictions, and no more rego fees, imagine that. There are also long overdue recommendations about opening up the taxi industry to competition, well after companies like Uber disrupted the passenger transport market. One thing small businesses across the country were hoping for in the review were changes to the regulation of market power, reining in big businesses' abilities to dominate the landscape. So did they get what they want? I caught up with Deborah Healy, who's Associate Professor at the University of New South Wales Faculty of Law.
The provision on misuse of market power is Section 46. Talks about a body with a substantial degree of market power shouldn't use that power for an anti-competitive purpose. If you look globally, most countries have a provision like this. A lot of them look at effect and not purpose, and people say it's illogical to focus on purpose. Small business have been lobbying for a long time for a change from purpose to effect. It's been considered a number of times before this and rejected. I think that there needs to be a change because people don't really understand the way the provision works. The government has put change on the back burner, but I think that I'm concerned that even if we do change the provision, small business may not get what it wants because a lot of the issues that it complains about really aren't competition law issues. They're peripheral issues.
Like what?
Use the supermarkets. People say, oh, we have two big supermarket chains. But if you look at it in an economic sense, sure, they're very big, but they have very strong competition from a number of relatively new market entrants. And there's talk of another one coming in. And ultimately, what's happening is consumers are being delivered lower prices for milk, for a whole range of product. So the people who have really, I think, not benefited from this have been the suppliers. And there have been some moves taken to assist them, and the Commission has successfully taken action against one of the chains in relation to this. But they're not necessarily issues that are just because the chains are big. They're using their market power against suppliers, not consumers. Consumers are still benefiting.
The issue there is consumers are benefiting, but at what cost? And that, as you rightly say, is the cost to some of those smaller operators. And those supermarkets have been known to be quite aggressive in the way that they've pushed prices down and forced some of their suppliers to deliver at below cost in many cases. Is this review going to address that? I mean, the government just says that it acknowledges their concerns, but it's going to consult further before making any changes.
Well, I don't know that this provision is necessarily the one which should address the supplier issue. I think that there are other provisions in the Act that can do that. That's why I don't think this provision necessarily, even with amendments, will deliver what small business wants. It will improve their position, I would think, but it won't deliver everything that they want. I think they have a view that it will solve their problems if it's changed.
There was a recommendation about removing restrictions on pharmacy ownership. That's been put off as well,
yes,
hasn't it?
Yes,
so
it has.
That would potentially see supermarkets even take over running pharmacies.
It would. But, you know, pharmacies have been very heavily regulated for a long time. And as with other industries like the taxi industry, there's a trend to deregulation and there's a trend to allowing, you know, digital disruptors into industries which have traditionally been heavily regulated.
One of the other areas for small business was the issue of collective bargaining. That was also looked at in the Harper Review. This was about the ability for small businesses to be able to negotiate better prices ultimately for themselves in accessing goods.
And this really arose out of the old Hilmer inquiry, because what happened there was a whole range of agricultural areas were deregulated. You know, there used to be the barley marketing board, the milk marketing board, the fish marketing authority. All of those things were deregulated in the idea that competition would improve things. But what it did was it gave the acquirers of those perishable products an inordinate amount of market power over these individual producers who may well only produce 50,000 eggs a year, you know. So they brought in this system of collective bargaining, which allows small businesses who only have a relatively small number of dealings with particular processors and acquirers to actually get together and tell them what they will accept in terms of the terms. Because if that's not there, what happens is if the processor doesn't want your products because they won't pay the price that you require, they wither on the vine or they go off. You know, you can't sell them to someone else because there's no one else. With these collective bargaining provisions, you lodge a notification and say, I have this much business in a year with this organisation. I want to join with my competitors to collectively bargain with them.
In addition to that, one of the recommendations was that the ACCC should also be allowed to impose conditions on notifications about any collective boycott activity.
Yes. And traditionally that's not been allowed. The Commission's been in favour of that, but there's been a couple of cases. One went to the Competition Tribunal and the Commission had allowed it and the Competition Tribunal would not allow for a collective boycott. So this is a very welcome amendment because you've really got no market power. If you can only say, we all want this, but you can't say, if we don't get it, we won't deal with you as a group. This allows you to say that.
Harper also recommended that economic modelling be done to actually map out the impact of their recommendations in the review. Specifically, they recommended that the Productivity Commission be tasked with doing economic modelling on these recommendations, but the government wouldn't commit to that. Is that a surprise, since the government seems to have been very quick to refer all sorts of things to the Productivity Commission, including changes to superannuation and so on?
Well, I'd agree with you that it's interesting. The history of the last lot of amendments is interesting too, because the results of the Hilmer review were that there was a whole program of competition policy initiatives adopted and agreed to by the states, and they agreed to implement them, things like reviewing their legislation, reviewing their policies, putting in competitive neutrality, which means treating a government business like any other business, not giving it any advantages in the marketplace. But each of the states was paid money to actually fulfil their obligations under that arrangement. And at the end of it, the Productivity Commission came out and actually modelled what the economic value of all of those changes had been. So it seems to me that they would be able to do that. I'm wondering if this non-referral is because the government doesn't want to commit to any payment system for reaching milestones in relation to all of this.
Deborah Healy, Associate Professor at the University of New South Wales, Faculty of Law.